The three Thanksgiving games, they're actually really good games.
Yeah.
Really good games, like suspenseful, close games. The Bills end up winning. Dallas wins. The Giants with the most meaningless, useless, stupid cover in the history of football.
Did that jam you?
Well, it did with these morons.
Yeah.
Like, it was, for starters, the kid Mark misses a 46er in a dome on primetime, wide right. Cut. Cut him immediately.
Instantly.
Immediately, because that would have pushed it to, it's over, you can't cover the number.
Yeah.
And then Brian Daboll, for some reason, is like, we got to score a touchdown with 8 seconds left, waste everyone's time. Anyway. Dallas wins, the Giants cover.
I got something going on now where a buddy of mine is like this Josh Allen hater, and he likes to text me when things aren't going so well for Josh Allen and be like, I've been watching this guy for years. I knew about this. He gets intercepted, this and that. And he's texting me throughout the game, Buffalo-Detroit. Gets to the fourth quarter, and we saw what Josh Allen did with that last drive.
Mm-hmm.
Crickets.
Awfully quiet. That's
absolute
the way it always is.
Crickets. And then he throws a 40-yard rope right on the numbers to Diggs, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Crickets. And then I just sent him the dot, dot, dot. I said, anything to say? He goes, nothing.
To be fair.
Ghosted.
If Detroit had managed things a little bit better, they wouldn't have had that chance. Bad teams just seem to like
that's
do
what
bad
happens.
Team stuff.
Bad teams do bad
what
stuff.
What are you doing?
Bad teams do bad stuff.
They hate the clock. They hate managing the clock.
Right.
It's like if we're sitting on the couch being like, yeah, you probably don't want to leave them much time. Why don't they know?
Well, you would think they would, Jonas. They get paid a lot of money, and apparently all they do is sit there at the stadium all week and coach, but they never contemplate actually working out, you know, the clock. But anyway, the night game was Minnesota, New England. What stood out to me was the Patriots were very undisciplined. They played like a bad team. That's a Bill Belichick team, man. Like that roughing the kicker penalty is so, I thought he was going to kill that guy on the sideline. And that ended the game. Like the Vikings went down, they put in seven. And Kirk Cousins played well. Full credit to Kirk Cousins. He played very well. Kevin O'Connell, a rookie coach. There was video in the room after the game because Cousins has a reputation of being a guy who's awful on primetime. Like he can't win on primetime. He throws picks. He fumbles the ball. He's terrible. He played really well. They won on primetime. This is the post-game speech in the Vikings locker room.
Last time I checked, that game started at 7:25. That makes it a primetime football game. Your quarterback went 30 of 37 for 299.
If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm so angry with that.
Yeah?
Why?
Because he's just, the elephant in the room is this guy's terrible in primetime, and his coach is like, I know you've been terrible, but finally you had a game. Let's pump your tires. The guy's been in the league for a decade.
I think he's probably saying the hype around that is not true.
Oh, it's
you
completely
just
true.
It.
No, it's completely true.
You like that?
All right, let's
you
bring like in our TSN NFL analyst, longtime NFLer, and of course he's got a great podcast out, More To It podcast, our buddy Marcellus Wiley. Do you think Kirk Cousins would be happy with that, the primetime comment post-game?
I wouldn't take that comment too seriously if I'm Kirk Cousins. So I'm not happy or I'm not mad for this reason. It is reality-based, whether you can say it's the greatest coincidence that's ever happened in sports history of Kirk Cousins having his failures in prime time, despite a success here or there, like last night he performed well. We also saw him beat New Orleans, obviously, in a playoff game, and call that what you want, but that's as prime as the time can get. But at the same time, you're looking at coach like, dude, this was an elusive effort, so... But, you know, as we're winning this game and you're pumping this up, we have bigger fish to fry than just this one game. So I don't know why coach is making such an example of this. I would just be indifferent, almost apathy. Like, all right, coach needs something to talk about. This is an elephant in the room. This is a monkey on our back in terms of what our hopes are going forward. So I don't take it either way. I'm just Kirk Cousins. Like, all right, move on, man. Let's pop a baby bottle of champagne.
At 9-2, with the way the Vikings are playing, I know their schedule maybe going forward may be a little easy, but like, are you bought into what's going on there in Minnesota?
It's hard for me to do that. You know, I'm a guy who bought into a team that was 14-2, San Diego Chargers, and they didn't win it all. I'm a guy who bought into a team that was 16-0, and they didn't win at all. So you look at a team that wins most games by the skin of their teeth, you're like, I don't know about this team. I don't know about how they're going to finish the deal. So a lot's up in the air. There are some obvious teams out there that we all believe in, despite record. It's hard for me to believe in Minnesota, even though they have such a great record.
Bill Belichick has, I think, a deserved reputation as being a guy that's crossing every T, dotting every I. His team is overly disciplined. His team knows every situation. And yet last night, that was not on display, especially in the fourth quarter. There were a lot of silly mistakes, including, you know, you run into the kicker and boom, instead of you getting the ball, the chains are moving, the Vikings stay on the field, they put in six, and the game is effectively over. What do you make of, you know, Belichick's reputation and maybe the way the Patriots actually performed last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to win in this league if everything is going your way, let alone if you don't have everything you need. And Bill Belichick is kind of suffering from the latter. We always think it's about the coach and the jockeys, but it's about the horses. And, you know, New England is a team that may have a little bit above average talent, but they certainly got some question marks in key places. Even at the quarterback position, you can see where there's still a little anxiety in terms of belief in Mac Jones. I think that's what's being highlighted right now. It's like, Belichick, you have proven your greatness, but that was a collective effort. Defense, Tom Brady, et cetera, great personnel. And when you suffer in the roster, you're usually going to suffer in the record. And I think that's what's happening. But Belichick is not, as they say, coaching his best ball either. I would give you that. But I'm just not in the camp to forget his resume, to forget his greatness. And knowing that if he's properly resourced, if he has what he needs, Belichick is obviously the GOAT of all coaches.
With Marcellus Wiley, I don't think there's a bigger swing team in media in terms of talking about them, pumping their tires, and then possibly crushing them on the other side of it as the Dallas Cowboys. And they won very impressively last week in Minnesota. I thought they were impressive, especially in the second half yesterday. Where are you at with the Cowboys, Marcellus, and the likelihood that they could be for real and could legitimately be a Super Bowl team?
Yeah, it's almost like it's a long time coming. Like, you're wrong and you're right about the Dallas Cowboys, it seems like, every single week. I write them off at times, and I'm wrong, and then I'm like, I'm writing them a ticket to the Super Bowl, and then I'm also wrong. It's just so weird to be right when the Cowboys are rolling, to believe in them, and to consistently see them perform up to standard. They got a win yesterday. It wasn't the prettiest of wins, but coming off of that Minnesota victory, everyone was expecting letdown, and we pretty much saw them, especially in the second half, ball out. Dallas is like this weird team where you know it's there, and you're just waiting for it all to come to life. And I think, as we've said several different years, this may be the team that makes it all come to life. They're in a tough division. Everybody's out there fighting and trying to jockey for position all behind the Philadelphia Eagles. But the Cowboys still have an opportunity to go out there and potentially even win this division. Imagine that, and let alone have Super Bowl aspirations. I'm a believer, but I've been the believer so long, holding my breath for so long, you know, you kind of get exhausted just trying to testify for this team.
So, Marcellus, what would be your biggest question about the Cowboys?
Oh, the biggest question mark is truly, like, how are they going to play offensively? It's not because they have a lack of weapons, even though they can get an OBJ in the receiving corps and obviously support them there. It's just, how are they going to run the ball, say, complementary football, and be efficient offensively? Since Dak has come back from injury, they have the highest scoring offense. So you know that they could put the points on the board. But putting points on the board is one thing, especially when you score 40 in one game. It's the efficiency that you need as well. And Dak Prescott had a good game last night, but not a great game. You know, you saw his two interceptions, and you saw have a couple errant throws. That's the problem. It's like, who's going to show up when they need it most, and who can they depend on consistently when they need it most? They put up points. They're fireworks when it doesn't count per se, but when it's all on the line, that's when I want to see this offense shine.
Marcellus, it seems like there's been a few times this season where we're seeing really poor clock management, and the Broncos were notorious for it early in the year. And yesterday we see the Lions kind of pull a stunt where they waste away some of the clock against Buffalo. Like, what is going on there that no one has the attention on the sidelines or the awareness to call a timeout and you're just killing clock for no reason? Like, what is happening in that situation?
Yeah, man, from my Pop Warner Little League coaching days, as I'm a coach right now, there's a lot of moving parts. And sometimes you see on display, some teams aren't well-oiled machines. They just aren't. Like, everyone drops the ball somehow, some way. And I guess the best way to articulate it is, whenever you see a big play, a touchdown, a 60-yard run, a big ball pass, 50-yard touchdown pass, we immediately think that the player that just made that play is better than the other player. But what I learned from experience of playing and what I learned from coaching is most big plays actually happen from someone else's mistake other than your greatness. So we always think, oh, my God, he's just so much better. It's really like the other guy just dropped the ball. It's just he dropped the discipline and coverage. He was in the wrong gap, et cetera. What happens in plays like this and coaching and time management miscues, it's pretty much the same thing. It's not like the coach is not capable. It's not like he doesn't have a staff and someone on staff is supposed to pay attention. It's just somebody just dropped the ball in that moment. It could have been someone distracted. It could have been a coach who was caught up on something else and thought it was more important in that moment to talk to his player or get the scheme down or make sure the play got in other than, oh, by the way, I got to look at that play clock right there. So most of the times, man, these miscues are just mental lapses, just mental errors.
The podcast is the More To It podcast. He is one of our favorites, Marcellus Wiley. I know it's a holiday down there, buddy. Thank you for finding time for us. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Take care, brother. We'll be talking again next week.
You got it. Marcellus Wiley joining us live from L.A. And, yeah, we got a lot more in the NFL this weekend. We'll get more into it later this afternoon. Al's brother will be in here. Luke Wilson will join us. We'll look back on the three games yesterday and also, of course, look ahead to the rest of the games on Saturday.